Thank you again for giving me this opportunity again this morning. And I'm just standing here in fear of God and in front of you. I'm not really worthy to speak to you because I know myself. But by the mercy and grace of God, I will be able to, you know, stand here. And because of the shortness of the time, I'd like to get into the point as soon as possible. And today's message title is Two Goals of Christian Life. Two Goals of Christian Life. And I wish I can just finish up, but probably if I cannot, next time I will continue. And scripture verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 21. And my wife Betty will be reading the part.
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you. Okay, here, the verse 17 is a very famous scripture verse. Every Christian should remember or memorize this scripture, and many, many salvation messages was preached according to this verse 17. But that's not the focus I'm going. This morning, my focus is after that. Those who became a Christian, and he's a newborn Christian, and he's a Christian, he's guaranteed to go to the heaven, but God also says you should be an ambassador for Christ. That's what I'm focusing. Okay? So let's just take a look at some process of becoming a Christian. Is before becoming a Christian, we are spectator. We are non-Christians, never gone to the church, never been to the church, never read the Bible, no Christian friend, but in some time or someday in his life, someone came and shared the Lord Jesus Christ with the person. And the person started to get to know, you know, about Jesus, about the Bible, and that's wonderfulness of being a Christian, and come to the point, I will make a decision. I will make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Then the person became a newborn Christian, you know, a new creature according to this. But the Christian life doesn't stop there. God says, now you are newborn Christian. You belong to me. And that's not over for you. I send you to be an ambassador for Christ. You need to focus more in our Christian life. So the becoming a Christian, attending the church, and joining the fellowship, is not good enough. It's not good enough. We came halfway. And every one of us have to become an ambassador for Christ. And so to become an ambassador of Christ, you know, just imagine President of the United States come to you personally and call your name. Hi, I'm a president of the United States, and I'd like to appoint you to be an ambassador of a certain country. Would you please accept my offer? Surprise, right? You asked me to be ambassador? Which country? Well, Bulgaria, how's that? How's Japan? Korea? Well, how about North Korea? Oh, no. I'm not ready for that. What, but you are American citizen. I can appoint anybody. I have authority to do it if you accept me. But I'm not ready yet, President. You know, so that we have to be ready. But the Bible also says, you know, every Christian should be ready to be an ambassador for Christ. Are you now ambassador for Christ right now? Or just joining the church, enjoying the fellowship, attending the service, and oh, I did my Christian dues today. Well, read the Bible, and that's it. I'm really a comfortable, good Christian. God is not saying that. You should be ambassador of Christ. And now looking at, to become an ambassador of Christ, there's two things very important. Okay? One is the quality, being an ambassador. Quality of being an ambassador. The second is the ability of being ambassador. Let's take a look from the quality of being an ambassador. Before we become a Christian, okay, when the time comes, please let me know. I'm really speeding up so much. Okay. And let's look at the quality of being ambassador. Okay. And quality of being an ambassador, before that, you know, we don't have a quality of ambassador of Christ because we are not born again yet. But once we become a Christian, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, we are qualified to, pre-qualified, I say. Yeah, I'm not talking about the real estate, pre-qualification. Okay. Anyway, you know, kind of getting closer. But actually, being getting saved is not good enough. You have to have a quality of being a Christian. Okay? And the number one quality of being a Christian is you have to establish your Christian identity. Christian identity. This is one of the most difficult parts for Christians. Our Christian identity, our identity is even after becoming a Christian, our identity is not in God, but to the secular world. That is the most struggles and the fighting and troubles and problems who come to our life. But once we established our Christian identity in God, you know, problem is not more a problem. Look at Jesus. Jesus' identity is totally 100% in Heavenly Father. Okay? Where the identity is, that's where your security is. Where security is, you care that security very much. Okay, so when Jesus has 100% identity, he has 100% security in Heavenly Father, means he cares what he says to him. That's 100%. So which means, in another word, he doesn't care much about other people say about Jesus. You understand that? In front of the pilot, you know, he kept silent. He kept silent. But he didn't make any explanations. He didn't make any comment. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't say, because that person said, because of that. You know, he didn't say, because he was not seeking any security from other people. His security is only from God. So we need to really establish our security in God. It cannot be 100%, but we always try, you know, need to work toward that one, you know. And when the identity is there, security is there. Okay. Some Christians for a long time haven't changed from this world's security to God's security yet. Being a Christian a long time, attending the church, helping the church a long time, serving the Lord, so many things, but their true security is still in the money. True security is still in the position. But God really wants us, our true security is in God. Okay? So, in order to establish true security in God, we need to dig our heart and open our heart to God. There's no hurt and wound and damages in our spirit, which is like I'm saying about the inner healing, inner healings. When the baby is conceived in the mother's womb, the memory started. And even though before the baby was born, in some way, the parents' conversation gets into the body's memory or spirit. And that's really affect his or her lifetime and, her life after that. So that some children were born in having a rejection feeling from the parents because of the conversation. The parents said, oh, I wish my next child is a boy, but a girl, it was a girl. And I, my parents were expecting me to be a girl, to be a boy, but I'm a girl, so parents didn't like me. Kind of feeling is always building up deep inside, and it's become a wound and scars in the spirit. We have to dig into that and have to God love come in there to touch every small memories, every small things in people's heart that I'm created by God. That's called inner healing, spiritual healing. It is so important, that one. By doing everything that one, it's a process of establishing our identity in God. Okay? And I knew that long time ago. And my wife got pregnant in the first child. It's a girl. So I knew that. So every time before the baby comes, I always talking to the baby, hey, Can you hear me? This is the Father. Okay. I can hardly wait to see you. Okay? And we call her Izumi. So, Izumi, can you hear me? This is your Father talking to you. Remember, I love you. I can hardly wait to see you. Always talking to you that way before the baby was born. That's why our daughter is such a wonderful daughter. She became too wonderful, and she sometimes calls me, you know, Daddy, you shouldn't do that, you know. She's spiritually speaking, knowledge-wise, she's way ahead of me. So when I do something stupid thing, Daddy, what did you say? And I just hide somewhere, you know. Where's has any place to hide? I say, yes, okay, stop it there. But our identity is important, okay? Then inner healing is important. Then next one is building up our characters. So the laying down the solid identity in Christ Jesus, or in God, that's the foundation of building up the Christian character up there. So without the true Christian identity, sometimes Christian character collapses down. Okay, collapses down. Because there's no strong identity yet. So that we have to come to the point. No matter people says, whole world said, I'm ugly or something me, you know, about me, you know, you have to talk to yourself. If God understands me, that's enough for me. I don't have to make any excuse. I don't have to defend myself because my identity is there and he knows me, he understands me, and I'm confident in him. So I don't care who people say about me, think about me. Of course, it doesn't mean we can be mean to the other people. I have to really still work out. But establish our identity in God. That's the first solid foundation. Look at the skyscrapers, you know. It's 30, 40, 50 stories, you know. They dig deep, right? Dig deep. Just a single family house, 3-bedroom, 2-house, you know, just shallow about 1 meter, you know. You don't have to. But in order to establish, build up high rises, you have to dig deep, solid identity foundation to the ground so that you can build up a very strong, godly Christian character on top of that. Okay, and let's look at the Bible again. Galatians chapter 5, 22-24.
Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Galatians 5:22-24.
Okay, thank you very much. There's a 9 fruit of the Holy Spirit reading here. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not only 9, but also some more we can add and collect from other parts from the scripture verses. But these 9 are listed here. And one of the most important among the 9, what do you think? What is the most? It's a self-control. Self-control. Without self-control, you cannot build up your Christian character. you know, living in this very difficult world, you know, difficult relationship, sometimes things doesn't go what we think, what we hoped. So sometimes that's irritate us in a relationship, you know, husband-wife relationship, you know, children doesn't grow up as we expected, you know, the neighbor getting so mean to us, you know, something, so many difficult relationships sometimes. And in that kind of situations, something ooze up from the bottom of, you know, stomach, you know. What is that? You know, how come he said that to me? How come he did that to me? You know, how come the person to me, I being so nice to that person, you know, always just some kind of conflict comes, you know, rises, and that when it come to the top, it's come out of the mouth, the anger. Anger comes and started to yell and violent, you know. But at that time, you have to exercise your self-control, not your own power, but the power of God. Lord, I really need your mercy and grace to control myself. I cannot control myself, but I need your grace and mercy to control myself. So, by the grace of God, we can exercise that one. But if we don't pray, if we don't do that, you know, we started to make excuses. Because you did this one, I did it. I said that. Because that person did that, I did that. Because neighborhood cat look at me and smiled at me, I feel good. That neighborhood dog barked at me, I feel so angry, you know. Even just the animals, whatever the things, you know, without God's mercy and grace, we sometimes cannot control our feelings. And feeling is one of the worst enemy to build up our Christian character. So the self-control exercise is really important, and always be careful to express your emotions. And some people think, you know, for example, like this, okay, yeah, A and B, person A and B, okay, and there's some conflict. And A think, I'm only 1% wrong, but that B, the person is 99% wrong to me. And I did only 1% wrong to me. So he is much worse than me. So I have a right to get angry to the person. Because you did 99%. I only did only 1% to you. Have you ever thought that way? Yeah? You're comparing the degree of meanness, all right? But that's not the Bible message. That is not. That's a secular world standard. Bible says, even though 100% you are right, 100% that person is wrong to you, you still have no right to get angry. You know why? Jesus, that's what Jesus did in the midst of being crucified. What did he say? Looking at the soldiers, you know, crucifying him, you know, with the spears, just, you know, poking his bodies, you know. What did he say? He didn't say, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, why are you doing this? I curse you. When I come back, I send you to the hell. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus prayed for that person. even though he is 100% right and 100% wrong, you know, Jesus prayed for that person and forgave whoever, anybody in the world. That's our goal. That's more like that's why we need to develop our character more like Jesus. So our standard is Bible, right? Our standard is not secular common sense. Okay? So that's what the Bible says. And our standard is Bible. Okay? So those who get angry make always excuses and blame others. Make excuses and blame others. Look at the story of Adam and Eve. God told them not to eat the fruit of the middle of the garden. Eve ate first, and the Adam came and took a, you know, a bite from fruit from the Eve, and came Jesus, and the God approached him, Adam, who gave you the fruit, which I told you not to do it. And he didn't say, I'm sorry, I ate. What did he say? He said, the woman you gave me. So he blamed the woman. And also, he blamed God also. You gave the woman to me, that's so I blame you and blame woman. I'm innocent. Right? It's always blaming if you are not really open up completely before God. You tend to look for someone to blame others. That's not the Bible message. That God really wants us to be really a perfect more. And make excuses too, yeah? Okay. I think the time has come, right? How many minutes do I have? Okay, 2 more minutes then. I'm gonna. Okay, so I said 2 goals of Christian life. One is building up your Christian character. That's one thing. So every occasion, any incident, any time we face any difficulties, that is a chance to God is speaking to you to building up your character. Okay, oh, this is the time for me to build up my character, godly character. And if some people don't look at that way, you know, tears and yelling and all these, you know, activities, you know, shows up. But my recommendation is save your tear, save your violence, save your voice to go to before God. Lord, in this situation, I see I'm not transformed like you. So please change my heart, the path, and cry before God. Cry before God. Ask the Lord to change your heart more like to be Jesus. That is so important, okay? And that is the quality of being an ambassador for Christ. That is a quality of being an ambassador of Christ. I think I need to stop here. And next time I have a chance or opportunity to speak again, I'm going to speak another one. I prepared two legs here, but I only spoke only one today. But it was my pleasure, and thank you very much for giving me this time, opportunity.